I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have with us today,
hey,
Fast Eddie?
We've got a couple of great people here.
They're wearing blue suits. They must be important.
It's either that or they're coming to take us away.
No, those are white suits.
They're from National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We have Commander Justin Kibbe and Mr. Jack Parrish. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, how are you
Good
doing?
Morning.
Oh, we're fabulous. You guys go and hunt hurricanes. That's got to be a wild
ride. Do hurricanes like being hunted?
They don't like it very much at all.
They tend to fight with you a bit.
No, they push back.
Yeah. I thought so.
I would say some of the ones that we've had lately have pushed back pretty hard. Katrina comes to mind for a start, and Sandy, that was a pretty good
size.
Now
you're both veterans of many hurricanes. Do you still pucker up when you fly into one of them, or is it okay routine?
I think from my standpoint as a pilot, it becomes more routine, but there's always that 1% of you that you know where you're at, and you know that it's not a great place to be. So there's 1% that's got the spidey senses going, saying, okay, I need to do this right. I need to do it right.
I need to pay attention.
Yep. And I'm a meteorologist, and one of the things that we've learned over all these decades of flying these are that the weakest tropical storm can give you the absolute worst ride. The biggest Cat 5 can be smooth as silk. You just don't know day to day.
Okay, is that because the Cat 5 is a much more organized storm?
There's a good, strong argument in that regard. However, some of our bigger scares have been in Cat 5. So there's just no calling it for sure.
Wait. All right, let's elaborate on that. So, what's your biggest scare?
The toilet's not working, of course. But
that was the worst. That was the worst. And for 10 hours, let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, my worst flight was my second flight in a hurricane way back in 1980 at 1,500 feet in the north side of Hurricane Allen, tucked up against Cuba. And the tall mountains on the eastern side of Cuba had done very strange things to the convection of that storm. I don't know how the people like Justin controlled the airplane for the length of time that they did in that northern side of the storm. And second flight, I said, geez, I better get tougher, because if every other flight's like this, and not one has been within an order of magnitude since.
Well, see, they were just giving you the worst stuff up front so you could get used to it.
Yep, the guy that was training me said, you're trained, I'm done.
He said, I'm not doing that again.
Well, wait a minute now. When you're flying these flights, you're not on autopilot, are you? You're hand flying the planes.
So it is what we do is we engage your autopilot, but don't put any controls on. So it's not an L2 hold or basically a rudder hold. So it dampens out the turbulence a little bit. So it helps us. We're hand flying, but it helps us a lot because it absorbs those blows up and down. So it is technically hand flying the plane though.
Yeah, you're not fighting it.
No. And I'm assuming that everybody in this aircraft is securely belted in?
Yeah, I was going to say, the captain has never turned off the fasten your seatbelt light.
Yeah, we err on the side of caution when it comes to the seatbelt light. And we put it on preemptively. Sometimes, Jack, we'll agree too, sometimes we miss putting it on, and we get a bounce here and there and throws some stuff around, and the coffee goes out in the back, and then we set people down and say, sorry about that.
Yeah, right. You hear from the back intercom, hey, come on, man.
Yeah, and they're up in the cockpit going, oops.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's been known to happen, but having been familiar with riding in the New York subway, we have a subway bar in the P3. So
wow.
It's a similar experience when it catches you by surprise.
Well, do you move around a lot? You all have assigned stations that you're just strapped into.
That would be a terrible way to spend 10 hours if
I'm
we
not
never
arguing
could,
that.
Could get out of our spots, but there can be extended periods. And some of the really terrible weather we fly, it's sort of like, Justin, can we find a place without potholes and, you know, take a 10-minute break and then we get back to it?
Okay.
I was going to say, rule number one on board this airplane is do not use the lavatory while in a hurricane.
Right.
There's been people stuck in the lavatory before, and it's not a fun ride back there.
Come back bruised, do they? You know, the worst part is when they go out to the airport and the flight's been canceled because the weather's clear.
Yeah, really? You know, you're flying in an extreme environment. What kind of a toll does it take on your aircraft?
You know, I think our planes are, you know, they're older aircraft. They're built in 75 and 1976. And the people that take care of our planes are the best in the world. The TLC that our planes get once they come back from a storm series is unlike anything other. And, you know, they're beat up. Their paint will come off. We'll hit either hail or grapple. And we get done with the storm series, and those planes are absolutely chewed up. But our guys on the ground, absolutely make them look brand new once we're back on the ground. And it's unbelievable the amount of effort they put into it.
All right, you just hit a term I've never heard of before. What is grapple?
Jack, you can take that one.
I'm the meteorologist, so when it's too small to be called hail, but it's still hail on an airplane, then we call it grapple.
And, hail on an airplane.
and when you run through extensive periods of that, it's just like small BBs being thrown at the front of the airplane, but for extended periods. And some of these eyewalls are just loaded with this stuff. It's not a particular flight hazard, but if you stay in it long enough, it's going to take off all your leading edges. And I guess it's the oil coolers, right, Justin?
Yeah, the intakes just are destroyed, and it's basically sandblasting, what it looks like, because all the paint's removed, and all the paint on the props is gone, and it needs a lot of love when we get back.
Wow.
And there must be a crew chief that looks at that.
That hates you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe the description I've heard is I gave the car to the teenagers. They took it out on Saturday
yeah,
night.
Yeah, right, right. So what kind of information are you attempting to gather?
It's really important information. One of the biggest things we have when you wander out to see our airplane out here at Boeing Plaza is what sticks out the tail end is a tail Doppler radar. So we're taking vertical CAT scans of everything out there that we're flying through. And that information's being packaged up into just the right digestible data set to go to these places that generate these computer models. And everybody now is familiar with, hey, what does the model say for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days from now?
The spaghetti model.
The spaghetti model, exactly. Well, you don't want the spaghetti to look like a hydra. You want it to look like a fire hose, straight stream. You don't want to be at the end of that fire hose, but at least we want to be able to tell people you're there and you're not. So these are really, really important factors when it comes to public awareness and getting people out of harm's way in time. So that's why we're putting these continuous flights in. Justin and I were launching at 4 o'clock in the morning in Tropical Storm Barry because we were launching the P3s 4 p.m., 4 a.m. Guess what? We got the 4 a.m. shift.
So. Of course.
But that's one of the biggest things. Lots of other supporting data. Really, really accurate expendable probes that we drop out of the airplane. They can handle the strongest Cat 5 eyewall winds, so they can give you super accurate winds down near the surface where people really care. And then the very next drops on will get you a center pressure in the storm to within a half millibar accuracy. So it's that kind of continuous feed of data the whole time we're out there. The Hurricane Center only wants to center in the center of the storm for an instant, get that data, then get out there and map those wind fields because we need to know who's in harm's way.
You know, one of the things that people are concerned about is climate change. Are you guys seeing any kind of changes in the ferocity and composition of these storms?
Of the average storm, yeah.
I don't think we have a fair enough answer for that right now. The very first flight I was on in a hurricane was a Category 5 storm, and that storm oscillated 4 times in the course of 7 days from Cat 5 to Cat 2 to Cat 5 to Cat 2. The strongest storm we've ever flown in was Hurricane Patricia out in the eastern Pacific. I don't even remember the year of that, but that wasn't like last year. It was like 5 years ago, something like that. So it's very difficult for us to do that. And let me tell you something. We are observing the weather, and then we let the really smart meteorologists in various places tell us those sort of things. That's just not our job. We don't even forecast. We observe. And if you put really accurate data into the forecast models, they go forward, and every forecast model loses accuracy as it goes forward in time. So imagine us trying to predict 100 years from now. That's a better degree than I have.
Right, right. Not possible. But, you know, you could still be wrong 50% of the time, right? Isn't that what they say?
And my wife says I still get paid.
That's
She's
right.
So happy with it.
Keep those checks coming.
Now, I imagine that she doesn't particularly care for your line of work. Hey, honey, I'm going to go fly in the worst storm ever recorded.
She's gotten used to it. And the one time I brought one home, Andrew, that totaled my house, she said, don't ever bring your work home again.
That's pretty good. I want to know if you ever get, you guys get through a bunch of turbulence and all of a sudden over the intercom you hear someone go, woo, man, that was a good one.
You do get that every now and then. I think you get people who enjoy it. The people who want to ride with us, either media or VIPs. And I think
I want to ride with you.
I'll go.
Most people get a little nauseous and don't enjoy it as much. There are occasional people who I think it's the greatest thing in the world.
And the worst part is you have to remind them, you know, you're going to be on this for 10 hours.
Yeah, we're not turning around.
Right. We're not coming back. Bring a movie.
So no matter how sick you get, you are there for 10 hours.
They have an unlimited supply of barf bags.
We do. And we have people who try to, you know, set the record. And I think the record is over 20.
Yeah. Oh,
we're still
wow.
working on it. Yeah.
I feel bad for that poor guy.
Boy, they must have coughed up everything to the middle of last week.
I lost a little bit of weight that day.
Yeah. What is your standard crew?
We fly with a complement of anywhere from about 15 to 18 folks, usually three pilots, a flight engineer, and then we have a Jack is one of our flight directors, who is our onboard meteorologist and navigator. And then from there back, it's a lot of scientists with their equipment measuring data.
And one guy to hand out barf bags.
Yeah, we make sure to get them on. Before they get on, we hand them out to them. Say, hey, you got to have this in your pocket.
Here's 10.
Take them.
So your job, you mentioned the word flight director real quick. You just say, this looks like an interesting part of the storm. Let's go over here.
Well, we fly with some brilliant research scientists who don't know hardly anything about an airplane. And I fly with the best pilots in the business who don't want to know everything about meteorology. And I get to be the middle guy. It's just a good clearinghouse for, okay, they came up with 25 good ideas. Justin, let's talk about the two that are worthwhile, and let's go do them.
Okay.
So there's that.
Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. It's been very informative, and I'd love to go fly with you. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.